Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says simply, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I just have a few thoughts tonight about running the race. Each one of you is really beginning to run that race. For some, it may be ministry. For some, it's your life's calling, whatever it might be. For some, it may be more training. But you're in the race. That's what's important. That's the important thing. The first thing I want you to think about from this passage is that God wants you to run with freedom, to run with freedom. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's some things that hinder us from running. Really, anything that slows you down, anything that weighs you, that would prohibit you from moving forward in your Christian walk is a hindrance. I want you to imagine in your mind going to the Olympics, if you were ever able to go to something like that, and if you even wanted to go to something like that, but you would go and there at the very last event, I believe it's almost always the last event, is the marathon and the history that it has. And here comes one of the runners with a scuba belt. Do you know what those are? A scuba belt is a belt with lead weights in it that gives you ballast. It helps you to sink to the bottom so the air in your lungs doesn't keep bringing you to the top. And he comes to the starting line, and I think about what would a commentator say about somebody that's wearing a scuba belt to a marathon race? Well, maybe they say something like this. What is he or she thinking? What are they doing? There's no extra credit for running with a belt around your waist full of lead. You don't get more of a gold medal if you were to somehow win. But let me tell you, you'd never win a marathon with a scuba belt around your waist. Now we know that's ridiculous. But it's no less ridiculous than trying to run the Christian race with things that have no temporal value, has no eternal value, things that grab our attention, things that cause us to be distracted. You know what you have to do? You have to not wear the belt. You got to loosen the belt. Let it drop to the ground. Runners want to be as light as they can be. Nike came up with a marathon shoe for the 2012 Olympics that was 20% lighter than the shoes that the runner in the 2008 Olympics had worn. 160 grams as compared to 200 grams. That doesn't sound like very much. It's 5.6 ounces if you don't understand grams like me. It's almost like wearing socks to run. But here's what they said about these 20% lighter shoes. They said 20% difference over the 40,000 steps that it takes to complete a marathon is the equivalent of a ton of weight. If you don't want to lift an extra ton, then buy our shoe. That's what they say. You can run faster, you can run longer, you can run harder with less weight that you're carrying around. You ever hear the phrase, "Oh, that person has baggage"? Sometimes it's emotional baggage, sometimes it's spiritual baggage. I want you to know, God, when he saved you, he's willing to take all of that from you. You don't have to carry it around. It doesn't have to be a weight on you. It doesn't have to be something that encumbers you, that slows you down. What the Lord wants you to do is simply give it to him. And let me tell you, it's more than 20% lighter. It's a difference between night and day. It's the difference between running with a scuba belt on and shoes that only weigh 160 grams. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to lay down our insecurity, our insensitivity, our inabilities, and say, "Lord, I'm giving these things to you. I'm laying them aside." Paul would say it a different way. He'd say, put off the old man. put on the new. We're reminded that we can do it. It's not easy to lay those things down, but we can do it. God's given us the victory through Jesus Christ. Don't hold on to things that will have no value in heaven. Pursue those things that have eternal value. Run with freedom. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, not only to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, but it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we should run with freedom, but we must run without fatiguing, without fatigue. The word patience carries this idea of a patient endurance. Have you ever tried some new aerobic exercise? I mean, I think I've told you before, I've tried running before. My knees don't let me do it now, but even when I could run, I tried it for about a week, and I thought, this is the most boring thing in my entire life. I just couldn't do it. But if you give me a basketball, I could run around the court all day. I love that, right? But that endurance, you have to build up your endurance. That's what it's talking about when it says that to let us run with patience. As you finish up your coursework, waiting for that little slip of paper. That's the culmination and the representation of the last several years of your life. It may feel like you're passing the finish line. And let me be clear, you are passing a great milestone, but it's been one of preparation. Some of you, as I said earlier, are going to go on for further training, but others of you are entering the race. When you receive that diploma, when you finish that classwork, when you graduate, let that be the crack of your starting gun. Go strong, staring at the finish line. Don't grow weary in well-doing, Paul told the churches of Galatia. For in due season we shall reap. But listen to what he says. If we faint not. You know what that tells me? It tells me there is a tendency to faint, to grow weary. There is a tendency in Christians to grow tired of the race. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, I fought a good fight. But he said this, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Young person, listen to me. Above all things, keep the faith. Finish your course. Make the Lord glad. Allow him to rejoice in your life. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58 says, but thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You have your whole life set before you. And the exciting thing is finding out what God wants you to do with it and then pursue that with all of your ability. For some, that may be ministry. But let me tell you, every one of you are going to have a ministry. And whether that's your family or whether that's serving in a local church, God wants you to be faithful. He doesn't want you to grow tired and weary. And let me tell you, there's days where life can drag you down a little bit. But I love what that verse in Corinthians says. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And then he tells us who the victory is through. It's through Jesus. He's the answer. He's the strength. Let him be the fuel for your faith. Don't get tired. And so find that fuel of your life in your ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't make very many promises. But I'm going to promise you this. There's hurt, there's pain, and there's disappointment in this life. Don't let that cause you to grow weary. Don't start doubting in the valley what you know to be true on the mountaintop. And so run with freedom. Run without fatigue. But I want you to run this race with focus. With focus. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. I used this illustration before, but it's so appropriate for tonight. I'm going to use it again in September of 2021. Omar Ahmad lined up at the starting line to run a 10K. That's 6.2 miles for which he'd been training. When he heard the crack of the starting gun pierce the ear, he started running. And this race was in Bristol. That's in the United Kingdom. And because of COVID, two races were combined. There was the 10K and the half marathon, which was going to be 13 miles. And at some point in the race, the 10K runners were supposed to go straight and the half marathoners were supposed to veer off in another direction. Unfortunately, Mr. Ahmad went the wrong way when he reached the point of the course where he was supposed to go straight. He veered off. Instead of running the 10K, he ran more than twice that distance. And he still finished first in that half marathon. He'd go on to tell a reporter, "At the beginning, I thought I was doing a 10K, but then I asked someone when I reached the 6 mile, 'Is this a 10K? And they said, "No, this is a half marathon." So he poured on the speed, and what was supposed to be that 6.2 mile race turned out to be a 13 mile race. And he won. He came in first, breaking a new personal record. He was celebrating his win until the race officials announced that Mr. Ahmad did not, in fact, win the race. Because he was entered into the 10K and was not registered for the half marathon, he was not eligible to win that race. If it could be put another way, I would say this. He came in first place in the wrong race. The biblical principle is this: winning in the wrong thing is failing. Can I just say bluntly that there are a lot of Christians that are running and succeeding in things that don't matter. They're running the wrong race. Some people spend their entire lives pursuing their idea of winning at life. And what they never realize is that they've been running the wrong race. Listen, I think that is especially tempting for a young person, because he sees and she sees the world and the things of the world and the cars and the houses and the clothes and boy, how do I achieve all that? If that's your definition of success, you're going to be running the wrong race. If you see your goal as being a tool for the Lord to use to bring others to Him, to encourage others, to disciple others, to help to see people grow, you're going to be on the right track. You're going to be running the right race. And when you finish, you will hear those words, "Well done, thou faithful servant, thou good and faithful servant." Philippians 3:14 reminds us that we ought to be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to run with focus. Sitting here, I think it would be easy to think you are safe from losing your focus. Those of you graduating from high school or graduating from good families that go to a great church, amen. Those of you that are graduating from a Bible college, you're taught what is correct, what the right course is, and how to run the right race. But young man, young lady, this race is a long one. And if we're not focused on Christ, we will get diverted. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Many good men and good women get off track in these perilous times because they take their eyes off of Jesus. Some fall into the ditch of Calvinism. Some fall into the ditch of evangelicalism. Some just fall out altogether. There's so many shiny, sparkly, worldly trinkets that want to attract your attention and take your focus off of that which is most important. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what the writer of Hebrews was telling those first century Jewish believers. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't allow even good things to become the enemy of the best thing, because the best thing is Jesus. Run with freedom. Run without fatigue. Run with focus. But I want you to run with faith as well. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, but then it says, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray that everything that you do starts and ends with Jesus. Would this decision please him? Is this ministry opportunity his will? Is he pleased with this young lady that I'm interested in, or this young man that I'm interested in? What does he want in this situation? What will glorify my Savior the most? Listen, our faith is what will fuel our lives. That's going to get you up and out of the door. It's going to propel you in this life. And if you believe what God has said in his word, then you know there is an inexhaustible amount of work to be done. I'm so thankful that there's others that are doing it. Thankful for our young people that are training to go do that work. I was so heartbroken to just hear of Ben and Lauren Child's latest prayer letter. The assistant that he's been training, the national, their son died at 4 years old, just suddenly. Just reading a message that Lauren had sent to my wife, just painful to hear how Ben and Lauren was there trying to just give comfort to that family. But in the midst of that, I thought this, thank God there was someone there that could walk with them through this valley. You have no idea the impact that you will have on people that God allows you to brush shoulders with. Make that impact count for the Lord Jesus Christ. We impact people all the time, whether it's our favorite sports team, talking about the weather, or complaining about it. But we want to have an impact so that when we do cross that finish line, we do hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But let me remind you of this young person. The Lord does not hand out participation trophies. You'll not hear those words from your Savior if you don't deserve them. If you're lazy in life or lazy in the ministry that God gives you, you'll not receive that commendation. You'll not hear well done because you have left too much undone. Don't be self-motivated. Be spirit-motivated. Be sure to redeem the time because the days are evil. 40 or 50 years of ministry sounds like a long time, doesn't it? It's a lifetime. Probably seems forever at your age. But I want to tell you, I've burned through half of it already. And it seemed like the blink of an eye. Take care. Let me rephrase that. How you take care of the time that God has gifted you will tell the world whether you believe the promises that God has given in his word or not. Run with freedom. Be unencumbered. Run without fatigue. Run with focus. But I want you to run with faith. Run with faith. In the Christian life, finishing well means everything. That's what Paul was saying. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. One writer said this, as Paul writes to Timothy and contemplates his impending death, he evaluates his life and ministry. And while we live in a culture that exalts the winner and scorns the loser, Paul assesses his life based on three things, that he fought a good fight, that he finished his course, and that he kept his faith. How interesting it is to me that there is no mention of winning, only that of fighting, of finishing, and of keeping. We're so prone to think of ourselves as failures. If we don't set records, if we're not have a monument built to us somewhere, if we don't have our name remembered after we're gone. But Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, who wrote, half the New Testament. For him, it was a matter of endurance, finishing well. For Paul, he won by lasting. I like that. Make sure you run the right race. Make sure that you run with freedom. Don't be entangled with the cares of this world. Run without fatigue. Get your fuel from your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Run with focus. Make sure that everything starts in your life and finishes in your life with Jesus, and then run with faith. Show the world you believe what you say you believe with the life that you live before God and man. And I'll tell you, if you'll do that, you'll finish the race, and you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're excited. I'm excited. Your church family is excited for you to take the next step, whatever it is in your life. But whatever it is, make sure it's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we pray?